Welcome to another episode of the Animals Podcast. Today, Devin and I are talking about strategy. And in the same vein of the conversation that Ryan and I had last week about top, middle, and bottom of the funnel content, we realize that not everyone means the same thing when they say the word strategy. So we dive in, we unpack it. We don't have all the answers, but I think you'll find this one to be really helpful. Enjoy. Welcome back to another episode of the Animals Podcast. I'm Jimmy, and I'm here with Devin today. Hey, Devin.
Hey. Happy Thursday. Are we allowed to say that? Is it like the late show where it's like if you say hello, you're supposed to pretend like it's next Tuesday?
Yeah, yeah. That's fine. In that case, happy Wednesday morning.
Happy Wednesday morning.
6 a.m. Eastern time.
February 12th, yeah. I think. I don't know.
Devin and I have a cool topic today, I think. So in the spirit of marketing jargon that has potentially multiple meanings, we're going to dive into another topic, specifically content strategy, really the word strategy, like what that means, the different ways that people use it, what they mean when they use it, some of the misuses of it, right? Like one thing that we're learning is that there's a lot of terminology in this space that gets thrown around and it doesn't mean the same thing to everybody that says it or hears it. So the thing that got us thinking about this today was this idea of content strategy versus content planning, which are similar, sort of, but not also. So maybe we start there.
We've all been using this word wrong, like myself included. Like we're all just wrong, false, incorrect. Yeah, I think mostly what all of us have been doing as content people is producing content plans. They are a series of actions that achieve an objective.
Got it.
That is not a strategy, apparently.
Okay, maybe you could walk us through your discovery of this.
Yeah.
You know, and then also we should get into like, does it matter? Like, how much does it matter if you're creating a strategy versus a plan? Like, if for example, you create a plan, are you making a big mistake? Are you missing something important?
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe let's start with discovery. Like, how did you sort of come to the realization that we're misusing this word?
Yeah. So I actually love when things like this happen to me, where like, you know, sort of the aha moment in my own life where I've been doing something wrong the entire time and didn't know it. I was reading a book called Good Strategy, Bad Strategy, which was a recommendation from Walter, actually. And it's by Richard Rumelt. I'm sure most people have heard of it. It's not an obscure book. And the book is all about, and I highly recommend it, actually. It talks about what the difference between good strategy and bad strategy is. But before he gets there, he talks about what strategy is and what strategy isn't. And specifically, when he talks about what strategy isn't, he lists a bunch of things that I would say when you describe them, like, sound like things I've called strategy before. So things like objectives, right? An objective isn't a strategy. A goal isn't a strategy. A strategy is a strategy, which we'll talk more in more detail about in a second. But it really blew my mind. And I think it doesn't really matter that much, for the most part, for most content marketers. But I do think it matters if you're trying to level up as a leader or if you are a leader already, because it does influence how good you are at leadership versus just executing, right?
Yeah.
I'll pause there for a second.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. One question I have, and maybe there's not a clear answer to this, but like the way I think about content strategy is that a business has a strategy. Content creates a plan to support the business strategy. Therefore, can you have a strategy within a strategy, or would that be considered a tactic?
Yeah. Yeah. So in my opinion, you can, and I wouldn't necessarily call myself the leading expert on what strategy is, since I've most recently had my mind blown, but I believe you can and you should, actually, for content specifically. And actually, now that I think about it, this goes for engineering as well, if you're making that type of product, because what strategy really is sort of like a guiding principle or a philosophy. And so I think if you're going to do something that supports a greater company strategy, you do need a guiding principle that governs all of the actions, because, and this is why it goes back to leadership and why it makes you a better leader, that guiding principle sets other people up to act, right? And I think it's very easy as a leader to think, okay, I came up with this plan and I just gave it to people to execute on. That doesn't help, right? Like, that creates more work for you. It doesn't help your team be autonomous. Whereas if you can say, you know, give them a guiding principle, right? Or a system, and they create the tactics, right? With that guidance, that to me is true leadership. That's a truly healthy organization, right? Working as kind of like an organism, where like you do a thing that gets the other things to do their thing, right? And that all supports the objective.
Yes. Okay, that makes sense. Is there a difference between a strategy and a vision, or is that a different rabbit hole that we should avoid on this podcast?
Yes, it is different. Though I can see why, in my opinion, again, this is all my opinion, by the way. I'm sure there's some, you know, scientist out there that has this figured out in a much more a clearer way. But like, I think there's a big difference between strategy and vision. Although it can sound like they can seem similar. To me, a vision, and we're sort of, I think we're probably going to get in the weeds a little bit, but it communicates sort of like a belief system, right? But a belief system isn't really a guiding principle. So it's sort of, it is, I feel like people are going to hate us after this podcast, but I feel like it is different.
It is. I agree with you. And I feel like it's worth noting that like this stuff is like stuff that we are figuring out, you know, like specifically in the context of our business, you know, and like my guess is that most people use whatever their word of choice is. And hopefully this will at least encourage them to reflect on like, is it really that?
Yeah.
Or is it something else?
Because if you think about it, you know, all agencies, there's PR strategy, there's content strategy, et cetera. Like what we're really doing is providing them with a plan. It's a very useful plan for helping them achieve their objectives. And we certainly have the capability of helping them formulate their strategy. But that strategy, in actuality, would be best communicated to us, right? And then we would be the people creating a plan based on the strategy that they provide us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is sort of like it's more like a system solution versus an action plan.
Do you think that means that strategy is the sole responsibility of the leaders within a company, you know, or not? Like, so if you're the head of content and you have three bosses, you know, above you in the organization, does that mean the strategy is just like not your job, you know? Or like, if you're thinking about like how to level up your own career, like how do you incorporate that?
If it were me, I would take whatever objective was given to me in any kind of, if a company has a strategic plan in the first place, which we're assuming they do. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But say, you know, so for example, I don't know, Help Scout, it was like when I came in, my objective was get 125 new unique visitors in a period of time. I don't actually think I was even given a period. I guess I was eventually. So, and the first go around, I came up with a plan. I said, okay, I'm going to, you know, we did some refreshes. We started writing different types of posts, et cetera. The second time around, however, I think I actually got closer to a strategy for my kind of area, which was like, okay, you know, at that point, my objective had changed slightly. So I was kind of focused further down the funnel. So it was less about traffic and more about bringing in qualified visitors. Okay. And again, that objective got closer to strategy because they're like, okay, as a company, we don't actually think that traffic is important anymore, right? We believe that qualified visitors are the sort of KPI worth targeting to achieve our business goals, right? That is a lot closer. And so me taking that philosophy, I'm like, okay, qualified visitors are it. You know, I can do all these things, but really, these people that we're targeting are customer service people, and we want to become this hub of for customer service where, you know, we're more than just a product. We are the place where customer service people can learn and learn how to do their jobs the best that they possibly can and grow in their jobs, right? So that to me is closer to a strategy because I didn't really have, like, that's not a plan, right? That's just like, that's a philosophy governing how we go, how we approach going after qualified visitors, right?
Yeah.
After that, I was like, okay, I think we should create this hub called Help You. That is the plan.
Yeah.
And all of the execution around that. But it was governed by this philosophy of like, okay, to get to achieve this, like we need to become this bigger thing.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Maybe we can talk through this in the context of like the situations that so many of our customers are in. So like so many of our customers come to us and they have done a lot of content stuff. Some of it worked a little bit, a bunch of it didn't. And they say, well, now, like, you know, we see that there's promise here, but we don't really know what to do, you know? And then like, we become investigators at this point we have to figure it out for them. We also have to like pretty deeply understand what their business is like. So we can even create a content strategy. Like, so if you're a marketer at one of these companies who was like made an investment in content marketing and there was no like real clear plan, you want to level it up, like where do you even start?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this was actually something that book, Good Strategy, Bad Strategy, opened my eyes to. And I've actually used it on us as a leadership team here at Animals a few months ago when we were doing some 2020 planning, which is like the beginnings of strategy is, and actually what this guy, Richard Rimmelt, says is like a lot of strategy is just figuring out what's going on, right? Identifying obstacles, kind of understanding the state of things. And so for a lot of the companies that come to us, I don't necessarily know that they always, some of them do, but they always know truly what the obstacles are and what's getting in the way. They've tried a bunch of stuff and they probably focused on the stuff that they've tried and the things that did or didn't work, but they may not know the core thing, like the core challenge or problem or obstacle or whatever that made those things not work.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And once you understand the sort of core obstacle or the core challenge or challenges, right, you want to develop sort of like the strategy is sort of like the system solution to that problem, right? And then there's a bunch of like, as he calls them, like coherent actions to support that. And that's where like your objectives and your goals come into play.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
It's like, you know, we think about things like, you know, user research and customer surveys and talking like all those things, right? If you spend, I feel like we go through those really quickly and then we're like, okay, we've got our personas and we have our, like, you know what I mean? Like we treat those as small tasks to get to a quick solution. But like really, that is a great place to spend a lot of time and be really thoughtful about saying, okay, what truly is, you know, the obstacle we're facing that we need to solve. And that should be done at a company, like higher up, right?
Yeah.
And then content will eventually play a part in that.
I love that. And I love that because it's, I mean, we see this all the time where a company might try a number of things related to content marketing. Some works and some doesn't. And they just keep looking for more things that work. Versus trying to really understand why the things that don't work, don't work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a totally different exercise to try to like recapture the magic of things that work versus like really studying the problems and trying to overcome them.
Yes. And making choices. That's another important thing is like you have to choose one thing over another.
Yeah. You can't do it all. Mm-mm. You can't spread yourself too thin.
That's not strategy, right? That's just doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? That's like, and that's where it starts to become, and you start to like, again, this concept to me is one that I feel I can picture in my mind really easily, but it's really difficult to find the words for. But when you think about, if you know why you chose something and why you didn't choose another thing, that's where I feel like you start to become really clear. Right? And that clarity, again, is what you need to have a coherent strategy. And so that's why the importance of decision is like, you have to make that decision. You have to know why you're making that decision. And all of a sudden what you are doing becomes a lot more clear.
I love that.
And then say your strategy doesn't work. Like say it ends up, it's a bad strategy, right? Because you can come up with a strategy and it's good or bad. And you find out it's bad. The more clear you are on the decisions you made, the easier it'll be to course correct.
Right. It should this stuff be, I mean, I assume it should be documented.
Oh yeah.
Somewhere. You know what I mean? Like how do you communicate a strategy to all the people that need to understand it to then be able to go and do their jobs?
Well, I believe that you have to do it in multiple ways. So one would be like a company-wide meeting, right? So if in the all hands that I delivered last December, I think you were in Africa at the time, but
I was out of town, yeah.
But you've seen a copy of what I went over. Like that is the beginning of me sharing a strategy that is not yet fully formed, but I'm like starting to talk about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So team's like, oh, cool. I'm really like, they're starting to kind of understand it a little bit. Then you might write it down and share it within the context of say our 2020 plan. We're like, look, here's what we're going to do in 2020. And maybe that would be the kind of like guiding, like, principle, or it would be within that. If in our case, it's not fully formed yet, right? So I'd be like, oh, this is something I'm working on this year to fully define, right?
Yeah.
But I think the gist of it is communicate it multiple times in multiple different ways and remind people anytime you're talking about an objective or goal or plan, right? You're talking in your monthly meeting or you're communicating new objectives. Like you always want to point to the higher principle, the guiding light, the North Star, for example. I feel like a lot of times we talk about North Star. That should be your strat. Like your strategy is your North Star, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you should always be able to point back up to it.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. That reminds me a little bit of this article I read about Jeff Bezos. I'll find the link and put it in the show notes. And the article is about how he takes really important messages that he wants to convey, in his case, to tens of thousands of people. And he gives them a sticky name. And so that single, so like one example would be day one. Like he wants the employees to treat their work as if today is the first Amazon opened its doors today. And so like he has communicated this message by naming a building, including it in memos. And now everybody knows what it means to say day one, instead of explaining the 10-minute explanation of like how we should think about it and incorporate it into our work.
I love that idea. I think that's really smart. I think that's because again, it gives people, when you start to think about strategy as something like, and how you would communicate it, you see how it can motivate people. Cause like objectives are fine, right? Like we have objectives every year. We share them with the team. The team's like, cute, right?
Yeah.
But if it's part of something bigger, right? I think that's where people start to be inspired. They get excited. They feel like they're serving a higher purpose. Versus just like, we're going to make more money this year, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
We're going to get more traffic this year. It's like, what are you building? What are you making? And it's like, you know, the difference between like, Devin, go get more qualified visitors. And like, we are going to build the place for customer service folks to grow, build their career, connect with each other and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like that. That's kind of exciting, right?
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. One of my first jobs out of college, I worked for a guy, it's like small web design firm, and our founder would just like repeat himself so often. You know, like he would repeat the same like five things so often that I was like, this is the easiest job in the world. All you have to do is be a robot and keep saying these things. But what I sort of came to appreciate over time was that like he was beating the drum on these handful of things that were really important. And he felt like his job was to like move those things forward by just saying them over and over and over again until first there's the being inspired by the story, then there's like absorbing it, and then there's like feeling like it is now yours also to like take it and do something with it.
Yes. And that's where, you know, as a leader, if you're beating the drum, right, you're getting the rhythm going. Jimmy, you've got to go play the guitar, right? There's somebody else who's got to play the bass. There's somebody, you know, someone else on keyboards. Like all of a sudden, you know exactly what you need to do in your area of expertise. I think my old boss, Sunit, was really good at that too. Like he used to talk about, I remember one year, his the first year we worked together, he talked about surfing, surfboard. He's like, get out your surfboard. It was all about like riding some wave. And like, that was the kind of thing that he kept saying to the growth team. It was like, I forget what the, you know, the details about what that meant, but it was like, we were riding the wave or whatever. And so our first big growth team meetup, he bought us all socks with surfboards on them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he got us these really ugly stickers of surfboards. And like, it was so like, I still have the socks actually. And they were like super ugly and weird and random, but it was like, we loved it because we were like, ah, oh, like connecting us, kind of like Jeff Bezos, right? Connecting us in different ways. And we're like, yeah. And I found myself saying over and over again, like, oh, go on surfing. I would include it in my like monthly recap docs that I would submit to my boss and other people. It's like, it's what I used for my team.
I love that.
Yeah, you just latch onto it and it works. It got me excited.
That's really cool. Cool. I mean, I feel like we've done this topic reasonable justice in 20 minutes. Do you feel like there's any like big things that we missed here?
No, I mean, there's a lot to it. I'll share two links I think I have to a couple articles I read. In addition, we'll share the link for the book, which I highly recommend people read. And I think the thing that I would say is it seems kind of meta and it seems a little bit disconnected to the day-to-day. But I think as leaders, it's important for us to always level up the way we speak and the way we think and the way we present information. And I felt like diving into this book, into reading these articles, and even as I still process it and try to fully understand it and, you know, create strategy for animals, right? I felt like it took me to a next level. And I think even the way we talk to our customers too, it's making me rethink the way we frame our products. Like, because if we can frame our products in a different way, that new language can actually possibly help lead our customers to create better strategy themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, we can be the rising tide, right? That lifts all sails. And I think that like, you can do that within your company too. And that's what excited me about this topic, about learning about this, is like, if you can go in and present strategy that's even better than the strategy you're getting from your leaders, right? You're gonna level everybody else up. You're gonna level up their thinking. And that, I don't know, that has me pretty excited this week, so.
I love it. I think it's just amazing how like the semantics of this one word actually can just have such an outsized impact on your business, your content, your own career. It's really cool.
As we know, language matters.
Yes. Yes, it does. This is a theme I think that we should continue diving into, is like, does that word mean what we think it means? Because there's a lot of other things we could talk about in that vein.
For days. It could go in a lot of different directions, but I think we should keep doing it for sure.
Definitely. Cool. Well, before we go, we should plug a few things. First and foremost, hiring. We're hiring for a couple different roles right now.
Yep. A content team lead. Which is somebody who manages a team of content managers and helps them create content plans for our customers, formerly known as strategy. And we're hiring for content marketers or content managers. It's more of a writing-focused role where you manage a couple of customers. We're hiring at various levels. We're looking for more senior writers, people who are super experienced, maybe have expertise in certain subject matter, and people who are kind of fresher, slightly newer in their career or in their writing career. So all of that is on animals.co/join us. We'll put a link in too.
Definitely. Right? Yeah. I would also just quickly like to note, someone sent me a tweet yesterday and it said something like, you know, Animals is always hiring. What's up with that? Like, do you guys just burn through employees like crazy and always have to replace it? And I was like, no. We're growing and we need, you know, we're growing our team in order to meet the demand of the new business that we're taking on. So
yes,
that's why the team is expanding quickly. We're not just replacing people who go.
No. And the nature of an agency is that in order to do the work, you have to keep adding people, right? Yes. It's not like a product, like a software product where like you can have, okay, 10 developers, one, whatever, customer service, content market. Like We need people to service each new customer we take on. We are taking on new customers every single month, which means we need to continue adding people. So we will be hiring as long as we are growing, and forever. We are growing faster year over year because demand for our services continues to increase. So the fact that we continue to hire actually means is an evidence of how well we are doing, which I'm very grateful for. And also, please, please let us know if you want to work here because we need your help.
Yeah, definitely. There is also like, go read the hiring stuff. If you have questions, like we actually do regular hiring webinars where you can come and learn about the company and our team and what the roles are like, and you can ask questions. And like, we want to make this process transparent and easy. We want you to make sure you have the information that you need to make a big career change. So, you know, check those things out, reach out if you have questions. And as always, blog, newsletter, podcast, subscribe to stuff, send us your feedback. We appreciate you.
Wait, should we tell them to rate and review us? I feel like they do that every morning on Up First, the NPR podcast. They're like, will you rate us and review us? I'm like, oh yeah. If you want to rate the podcast, you can. Even yes. If, yeah. I mean, hopefully you like it, but.
Do that. And if you don't like it, maybe send us an email.
Yeah.
podcast@animals.co. Let us know.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, Jimmy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Debbie. Bye. Talk to you soon.